Hi, everyone, and welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm Eileen Foley, here with GASB Chair Joel Black to introduce today's episode. Joel, it's so nice to have you here again for another great episode. Thanks
hey,
for coming.
Hey, Eileen.
Hey.
Good to be back.
Good to be
Always
back.
Always awesome to be on the podcast.
I know today we'll be learning a little bit more about GASB's Infrastructure Assets Project. Can you tell us what this project entails and who we're going to be speaking with today?
This is an important project, Eileen. Infrastructure assets, often the largest assets most governments own. We're really looking at various new ways to account for or disclose information about those kind of assets. And today you're in good hands, Scott Reeser, who's a senior project manager at the GASB and is the project lead for this project, is gonna be the guest.
That's great. And I know he'll be speaking with our host, Matt Broder, in a few minutes. Is there a preliminary views document that I've heard of that will be open for feedback soon?
That is what Scott will be talking about, a preliminary views document, first of two rounds of due process out for public comment. It's out now, and the public comment period ends January 17th of 25.
Perfect. Listeners, be sure to go ahead and mark down that date now. Let's turn it over to our host, Matt Broder, and our guest, Scott.
Thank you so much, Joel and Eileen. It's a delight to be here today in Norwalk with Scott Reeser, GASB's Supervising Project Manager, and our guest today to talk about the GASB's recent project on accounting for infrastructure assets. I'm going to start with the basics. So my first question is, how does the, I think our listeners have a general sense of like what we mean by infrastructure, but how does GASB define infrastructure assets? And what are maybe some examples that our listeners would easily recognize?
Sure. And in the preliminary views, the board put out a definition of infrastructure assets, which is generally the same as it was prior with some minor tweaks. But that definition is infrastructure assets are assets that consist of multiple components that, one, are part of a network of long-lived capital assets utilized to provide a particular type of public service. Two, are stationary in nature, and three, can be maintained or preserved for a significant number of years. And so some examples of infrastructure assets that are common in governments are roads, bridges, water ways, communication networks, mm-hmm. things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. I see. So really not too different from what the sort of layperson would point to and say, oh, well, that must be infrastructure.
Sure.
Yeah, got it. So what is the current GASB pronouncement in place that governs GAAP reporting for infrastructure assets, and how long has that been around?
Most of the current literature for reporting infrastructure assets is contained in GASB statement number 34, which was approved by the board in 1999 mm-hmm. and became effective between 2002 and 2004, depending on the size of the government. Mm-hmm. Statement 34 was a major change at that time, because prior to that, general purpose governments didn't report infrastructure assets as assets on their financial statements. Business type activities did, such as maybe a toll road or something like that. But the states, general purpose cities didn't report the roads. And one of the things I will point out is, even with the implementation of Statement 34, most infrastructure assets at that time were retroactively reported, but smaller governments, those that at that time had less than $10 million in annual revenues, were given an exemption by the board, and they only had to provide the information prospectively. So it's new roads that they built and things of that nature, but the old roads still aren't being reported.
Okay. So that pronouncement has been in effect for 20-odd years. Why is it that the GASB is looking at this issue now? Is there a specific problem or challenge or diversity in practice that the board decided it needed to address?
Looking at whether current standards are still effective is part of the overall commitment to the standards setting process that the board has. And so several years ago, the board began the process of having staff do research on the effectiveness of Statement 34 and the reporting of capital assets, including infrastructure assets. And as part of that research, two main points of emphasis kind of stood out. One, users were looking for more information on maintenance and preservation activities of governments. some users call this deferred maintenance. They think sometimes governments aren't spending as much as they should in order to keep the current infrastructure assets at the condition level they need to be at to provide the services that are expected by the constituency. And so that was one of the points that came out of the research is looking for information on how much governments are spending in maintenance and preservation. Mm-hmm. And the other big item that came out is a lot of governments, it was reported, are using capital assets, and especially infrastructure assets that have significant dollar values, and their estimated useful lives generally aren't long enough or aren't as long as the government's actually using the infrastructure assets. And so if they're depreciating the assets, they're getting fully depreciated earlier than their actual lives. And so at some point in time, no costs are being allocated to those future periods.
So based on these concerns that financial report users have been expressing to the GASB staff, in this new proposal, what is going to be changing about the accounting for infrastructure assets?
Well, when the board re-deliberated the issues that are in Statement 34 on how to report infrastructure assets, for the most part, they're not going to be requiring many changes to what's recognized. Statement 34 allowed two options to report infrastructure assets. Many governments use historical cost depreciation, or net accumulated depreciation, I should say, which they do for all their capital assets, in which they report the infrastructure assets at historic cost, and then, as I alluded to earlier, had come up with an estimated useful life and depreciated the infrastructure asset over that time period. However, Statement 34 introduced an option that governments could use for reporting infrastructure assets, that if they came up with a pre-established condition level that they expect to keep their infrastructure assets at and performed condition assessments at least every 3 years on those infrastructure assets, they could report the infrastructure assets at historic cost and never depreciate them. Right. So they'd always be at the same value. So generally, the accounting's not going to change. However, the board decided to emphasize two points that are talked about in some implementation guidance currently. And maybe the board's proposing to move those points up to level A GAAP. And that is, one, components of infrastructure assets that have significant value, that have different estimated useful lives, should be depreciated separately. And so the easiest example to think of generally is a road, that the surface you may have to replace every 5 to 7 years, but the base will last 20, 30, 40 years, something like that. And so the board believes that in that case, you shouldn't just estimate that the road has a 25-year life or something like that. You should actually depreciate the surface.
Break out these components and depreciate them at different rates.
Exactly. Yeah. And the second item that the board decided to move up to level A GAAP is to remind preparers and governments that they should analyze or re-examine the estimated useful lives they're using, and if applicable, also the salvage value of those infrastructure assets, again, in order that hopefully those estimated useful lives are tracked more accurately with what the government is actually using them.
So with all that said, how will the disclosures in the notes be changing as a result of this proposal?
There's not a lot of changing in the recognition and measurements, so there is some changing in the notes that the board's proposing in the preliminary view use. And kind of three things the board's done. First, there's a few disclosures I'll talk about that they're eliminating that currently are required. There's four that they're proposing to be new disclosures to require. And then third, in those new disclosures, the board's proposing that all disclosures on infrastructure assets be done by major class of infrastructure assets. So that, I mean, if a county, for example, has roads and bridges, they would report those separately or separate major classes of assets.
So let's break this down. Let's talk about, I guess, the three current requirements that are going to go away.
Sure. The first of those is there's a current requirement for those governments that elected to report their infrastructure assets using the modified approach and therefore not depreciating the assets to describe that modified approach in the summary of significant accounting policies. And the board believes, you know, at that time, that was a new approach and was pretty unique to financial reporting. The board believes, you know, we're 20, 25 years, as you said, into it now. And that just stating that you are using the modified approach should be sufficient to communicate that information. And describing the modified approach is kind of educational and something a user can get or, you know, as a user that's, you know, in the governmental sector quite a bit and analyzing reports generally already knows. The second disclosure going away is for those smaller governments that implemented Statement 34 and didn't retroactively report their infrastructure assets, there's a level B gap that says they should disclose that fact that our financial statements don't include those assets prior to, you know, June 30th of 2004, whenever they implemented Statement 34. The board believes, you know, we're now 20 years down the line. In many cases, those infrastructure assets aren't material anymore. And so the board believes that that disclosure is no longer required. And then the third disclosure the board decided to eliminate is a disclosure required by GASB Statement 51, which is on impairment of capital assets. That is in relation to impaired idle capital assets, that if you have an impaired idle infrastructure assets, you don't have to make that disclosure.
So, so that's great news. Three disclosures that are no longer required. But you also mentioned there are four new ones in this proposal.
Sure. The first two of the new disclosures are in the summary of significant accounting policies. The first of which would be a disclosure of if the government changes any of its policies in relation to capitalizing infrastructure assets or estimating useful lives, that that would be disclosed. Second is, in the summary of significant accounting policies, again, a disclosure of the government's policy for maintaining and preserving its infrastructure assets. The third disclosure is maintenance and preservation expense spent by the government, and that would be regardless of whether the government reports their infrastructure assets using historical cost netted depreciation or modified, or the modified approach, I should say. And then the fourth disclosure is a disclosure of all infrastructure assets that are at least 80% depreciated. So those that theoretically are towards their in their information or into their estimated useful lives. Now, as part of that disclosure, the board's also proposing that that be split into two components. Those that infrastructure assets that have exceeded their estimated useful lives, so are being reported as zero value on the financial statements because they're fully depreciated, and then those infrastructure assets that are between 80 and 100% depreciated.
And then you also mentioned a requirement about breaking down assets into categories. Maybe just elaborate on that.
The four new disclosures and any other disclosures that currently are required for infrastructure assets, the board is requiring that, or proposing, I should say, that these infrastructure assets be reported by major class. Current guidance doesn't specify, and in fact gives examples of major classes of capital assets. It says infrastructure assets is an example of a major class of capital assets. And the board's beliefs and users had provided feedback during the research that they'd like that infrastructure assets further broken down, especially for a large government like a state that has multiple types of infrastructure assets.
Now, in what ways do these changes that are proposed by the board, how will they actually improve guidance and you know, address some of the questions or concerns that stakeholders have expressed?
Sure. And kind of tying back to those stakeholder concerns we talked about earlier that came up in the research, the first one is for those the concern as to, you know, the maintenance and preservation activities being done by governments, that the disclosure of maintenance and preservation expense would provide those users at least some information as to how much the government is actually spending on their infrastructure assets each year, so that the users can take that information and use it in their decision-making or assessments of accountability of the government. The second, for those, especially for those disclosures of those infrastructure assets that are fully depreciated, it would provide users some of that information as to how much of the capital assets are out there that are, you know, past the estimated useful lives, and that potentially there's cash flow expectations of having to either improve those assets or purchase new infrastructure assets to take their place.
So the preliminary views document is out. How can stakeholders provide feedback? How do they share their views back to the board and the staff on what they read in the preliminary views document?
After reading the preliminary views document, which can be found at www.gsb.org, gasb.org, stakeholders are encouraged to provide feedback one of two ways. They can provide written comments that would be sent to the Director of Research and Technical Activities, or there's an electronic feedback form that can be clicked and will prompt you to various proposals in the preliminary views in which you can, you know, decide to comment on some or some of the others. Both of those ways of providing feedback can be found in the beginning of the preliminary views document. And the deadline to provide that feedback is January 17th of 2025. In addition, if stakeholders are so interested, the board is expected in February 2025 to provide or to host some public hearings on the proposals and the preliminary views, in which stakeholders would be given the opportunity to provide oral testimony for approximately 10 minutes and then spend the next 15 to 20 minutes answering questions from the board about their positions. And again, information for those stakeholders that are interested in that on how to let GASB know your interest in participating can be found in the beginning of the preliminary views document.
That's great, Scott. So clearly more to come. We will be happy to have you back on the podcast after you've gone through this exercise of collecting all this feedback and learning more about what the board has decided to do next on this important project. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Matt.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us to this episode of Bridging the Gap. We hope you'll join us again, and please be sure to visit gasb.org/podcast to subscribe and to stay updated on future episodes. You can also follow the GASB on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, previously Twitter. Bridging the Gap is a production of the Financial Accounting Foundation, produced by myself, Eileen Foley, and brought to audiovisual life by Patrick Dorsman. So until next time, keep balancing those books, crunching those numbers, and embracing the art of financial reporting.